It's Hard Rain and Slow Trains.
Stick around for the next hour of Bob Dylan and his fellow travelers.
With Dan and Jeff.
It's a hard.
It's a hard. It's a hard. It's a hard rain.
You're listening to KEPW LP 97.3 FM.
Peaceworks Community Radio in Eugene, Oregon, and streaming online at kepw.org.
I woke up this morning, there were tears in my bed. They killed a man I really loved, shot him through the head. Lord, Lord, they cut George Jackson down. Lord, Lord, they laid him in the ground.
Yeah. cut your checks down. Lord, Lord, and laid him in the ground. Lord, Lord, and cut your checks down.
Believing in
cause he rules the earth. He can do with it as he please. And if things don't change soon, he will. For man has invented his doom. First step was touching the moon. Now there's a woman on my block. She'll just sit there as the night grows still. She'll say, who gonna take away his license to kill? Now they take him and they teach him and they groom him for life. Then they set him on a path where he's bound to get ill. Then they bury him with stars, sell his body like they do used cars. Now there's a woman on my block. She'll just sit there facing the hill. She'll say, who gonna take away his license to kill? Now he's helping for destruction. He's afraid and confused, and his brain has been mismanaged with great skill. Now all he believes are his eyes, and his eyes, they just tell him lies. But there's a woman on my block, sitting there in a cold chill. She said, who gonna take away his license to kill? Baby, noise maker, spirit maker, heartbreaker, backbreaker, leave no stone unturned. Maybe an actor in a plot, that might be all that you got, till your error you clearly learn. Now he worships at an altar of a stagnant pool. Sees his reflection, he's fulfilled. Oh, man is opposed to fair play. He wants it all and he wants it his way. Now there's a woman on my block. She'll just sit there as the night grows still. She'll say, ooh, wanna take away his license to kill.
Of a bush took Medgar Evers' blood. A finger fired the trigger to his name. A handle hit out in the dark. A hand set the spark. Two eyes took the aim behind a man's brain. But he can't be blamed. He's only a pawn in their game. The South politician preaches to the poor white man, you got more than the blacks, don't complain. You're better than them, you've been born with white skin, they explain. And the Negro's name is used, it is plain, for the politician's gain. As he rises to fame, and the poor white remains on the caboose of the train. But it ain't him to blame, he's only a pawn in their game. The deputy sheriffs, the soldiers, the governors get paid. and the marshals and cops get the same. But the poor white man's used in the hands of them all like a tool. He's taught in his school from the start by the rule that the laws are with him to protect his white skin, to keep up his heat, so he never thinks straight about the shape that he's in. But it ain't him to blame, he's only a pawn in their game. From the poverty shacks, he looks from the cracks to the tracks, and the hoofbeats pound in his brain, and he's taught how to walk in a pack, shoot in the back with his fist in a clinch, to hang and to lynch, to hide neath the hood, to kill with no pain, like a dog on a chain. He ain't got no name, but it ain't him to blame, he's only a pawn in their game. Today Medgar Evers was buried from the bullet he caught. They're lowering him down as a king, but when the shadowy sun sets on the one that fired the gun, you'll see by his grave on the stone that remains, carved next to his name, his epitaph plain, only a pawn in their game.
This is Jeff and Dan from Hard Rain and Slow Trains, Bob Dylan and fellow travelers.
And you are listening to KEPWLP 97.3 FM in Eugene, Oregon.
Peaceworks Community Radio.
And we stream at KEPW.org.
First and foremost, I would like to have a moment of silence to honor George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and the many others we have lost to police brutality and a shamble of a justice system. Thank you.
Oxford town, everybody's got their heads bowed down. Sun don't shine above the ground, ain't going down to Oxford town. He went down to Oxford town, guns and clubs followed him down, all because his face was brown. Better get away from Oxford town. Oxford town around the bend, come to the door, he couldn't get in, all because of the color of his skin. What do you think about that, my friend? My guess, son, we got met with a tear gas bomb. I don't even know why we come, going back where we come from. Oxford town in the afternoon, everybody singing a sorrowful tune. Two men died neath the Mississippi moon, somebody better investigate soon.
Welcome back to 20 Pounds of Headlines, your news about the world of Bob Dylan. January 1962, 20-year-old Bob Dylan writes about the lynching and murder of 14-year-old Emmett Till 7 years earlier in Mississippi, and how his killers walked scot-free down the courthouse steps. If you can't speak out against this kind of thing, a crime that's so unjust, your eyes are filled with dead man's dirt, and your mind is filled with dust.
April 1962, 20-year-old Bob Dylan pens Blowin' in the Wind. How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? 1962, 20-year-old Bob Dylan in Hard Rain's Gonna Fall sings, I saw a white man who walked a black dog. April 1963, a can of black paint having fallen on his head, 21-year-old Bob Dylan had to remove himself to the back of the tub when he went down to scrub and rub. July 1963, 22-year-old Bob Dylan sings, the deputy sheriffs, the soldiers, the governors get paid, and the marshals and cops get the same, but the poor white is used in the hands of them all like a tool. He's taught in his school from the start by the rule that the laws are with him to protect his white skin, to keep up his hate so he never thinks straight about the shape that he's in. October 1963, now is the time for your tears. November 1971, responding to the killing of Soldad inmate and revolutionary George Jackson, 30-year-old Bob Dylan sings, sometimes I think this whole world is one big prison yard. Some of us are prisoners, the rest of us are guards.
Sometimes I think this whole world is one big prison yard. Some of us are prisoners, the rest of us are guards.
1975. Having been sent a copy of Reuben Carter's The 16th Round, 34-year-old Bob Dylan visits Reuben Carter in prison.
The 16th Round, the book I wrote, I sent it to Bob Dylan. And he came from France on a special trip one day down the road of the Trenton State Prison to visit with me. That because he was white and I was black, that neither one of us had anything to do with it. Neither one of us had either choice of the matter, what color we were, you see? But two men can always meet, no matter what their political persuasion, no matter what their philosophy. See, two men always meet. But that's why Muhammad had to go to the mountain, you see, because two mountains never do. And the man is a man.
Bob Dylan then pens Hurricane. In Patterson, that's just the way things go. If you're black, you might as well not show up on the street unless you want to draw the heat. Autumn, 1975. While filming Rinaldo and Clara, Dylan sends Bob Neuwirth and a film crew to Harlem to interview people outside the Apollo Theater about Reuben Carter's conviction and imprisonment.
If you don't expect justice and you get justice, then it's to your benefit. But if you expect justice and don't get it, then you become disappointed. So I'm not one who's disappointed, because I don't expect it from the system. Until blacks realize that they're not part of the system. They live in the system, but they've never been a part of it, and they'll never be a part of it. Then they won't be expecting these things.
There's a home place under fire tonight in the heartland. And the bankers are taking my home and my land from me. There's a big gaping hole in my chest now where my heart was. And a hole in the sky where God used to be.
There's a home place on the fire tonight in the heartland. With a well where the water's so bitter nobody can drink. Ain't no way to get high and my mouth is so dry that I can't breathe. Don't they know that I'm dying? Why ain't nobody crying for me? My American dream fell apart at the seams. You tell me what it means. You tell me what it means.
There's a home place under fire tonight in the heartland. The bankers are taking the homes and the land away. There's a young boy closing his eyes tonight in the hard band, who will wake up a man with some land and a loan he can't pay.
His American dream fell apart at the seams. You tell me what it means. You tell me what it means. My American dream fell apart at the seams. You tell me what it means. You tell me what it means.
There's a home base under fire tonight in the heartland. There's a home base under fire tonight in the heartland. There's a home place under fire tonight in the heartland. There's a home place under fire tonight in the heartland.
It all starts within our own communities. I'm asking for the support of communities across the world to rise up. Rise up in this valuable fight against racial discrimination. We can no longer allow the very institutional structures created to protect the people to fail the people.
I want to destroy it. Time once again for
Who Did It Better? This is your chance to vote for whose version of the song of the week you think is better. Go to our Twitter page at @RainTrains, @RainTrains, and vote for Who Did It Better. The song of the week last week was I Don't Believe You, She Acts Like We Never Have Met. It's a song originally recorded for the 1964 album Another Side of Bob Dylan, but we played two live versions. One from the infamous May 17th, 1966 show in Manchester, England, the one where an audience member famously yelled Judas at Dylan for playing with a band instead of performing solo with his guitar. And the other version of the song was from July of 1994 in Poland, performed amidst a downpour where you can actually hear the rain hitting the microphone. It's coming down so hard. And the winner is fittingly, the poll this week is tied. That's right. Bob Dylan failed to beat Bob Dylan. As I mentioned last week in a 2001 interview with Rolling Stone magazine, Dylan asked that his work be compared to other albums that are out there. He said, compare this album to other artists who make albums. You know, he wasn't really into having to live with a legacy of constantly being compared to himself. Or as he sings in Love and Theft, as great as you are, man, you'll never be greater than yourself. Well, it's quite something that a 1994 performance recorded by people in the audience can stand up to one of his landmark live recordings from 1966. That 1994 band, featuring J.J. Jackson on guitar, Tony Gagne on bass guitar, Winston Watson on drums, and Bucky Baxter on pedal steel. Bucky Baxter, of course, just passed away 1 week ago, and he was the subject of our episode last week. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. We play a number of songs that he performed on. Thank you to everyone who voted for telling us what you think. It was February 8th, 1963, at the Emerson Hotel in downtown Baltimore, where 52-year-old Hattie Carroll, a server at a party making drinks, didn't serve 24-year-old William Zanzinger fast enough, so he hit her with his cane. Later that night, she died. A few months after his sentencing, where he was given a six-month sentence for manslaughter, Bob Dylan wrote this song, and the rest is history. The song of the week, of course, is The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll. We're going to play the studio recording for the album The Times They Are A-Changing, recorded in 1963 by Bob Dylan, and we're going to put it up against the version by Black Uhuru with Michael Rose that featured on the 2004 reggae tribute album Is It Rolling Bob. Michael Rose actually performed with the drummer Sly Dunbar and the bassist Robbie Shakespeare in the late 1970s through the mid-1980s, and that rhythm team features on a couple of Dylan albums, most notably Infidels and Empire Burlesque. Let's listen to these two versions of The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll, and please go to our Twitter page, @RainTrains, and vote. You can also leave comments there, tell us what you think, make suggestions for future Who Did It Better segments, or just give us some feedback. It's always nice to know that people are out there listening.
William Zanzinger killed poor Hattie Carroll with a cane that he twirled around his diamond ring finger at a Baltimore hotel society gathering. And the cops was called in and his weapon took from him as they rode him in custody down to the station and booked William Zanzinger for first degree murder. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. William Zanzinger, who had 24 years, owns a tobacco farm of 600 acres with rich, wealthy parents who provide and protect him, and high office relations in the politics of Maryland reacted to his deed with a shrug of his shoulders and swear words and sneering, and his tongue it was a snarling. And in a matter of minutes on bail was out walking. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize fears. Take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Hattie Carroll was a maid in the kitchen. She was 51 years old and gave birth to 10 children who carried the dishes and took out the garbage and never sat once at the head of the table and didn't even talk to the people at the table who just cleaned up all the food from the table and emptied the ashtrays on a whole other level. Got killed by a blow, lay slain by a cane that sailed through the air and came down through the room. Doomed and determined to destroy all the gentle, and she never done nothing to Williams and Zinger. And you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Courtroom of honor, the judge pounded his gavel to show that all's equal and that the courts are on the level and that the strings in the books ain't pulled and persuaded and that even the nobles get properly handled once that the cops have chased after and caught 'em and that the ladder of law has no top and no bottom. Stared at the person who killed for no reason, who just happened to be feeling that way without warning. And he spoke through his cloak most deep and distinguished and handed out strongly for penalty and repentance Williams and Zinger with a 6-month sentence. How about you philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears? Bury the rain deep in your face, for now's the time for your tears.
Williams and Zinger for first degree murder. but you philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears. Take the rug away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Williams and Zinger, who at 24 years owns a tobacco farm of 600 acres with rich, wealthy parents who provide and protect him, and eye of his relations in the politics of Maryland, reacted to his deed with a stroke of his shoulder and swear words and sneering, and his tongue, it was snarling. In a matter of minutes, on bail was out walking. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all things, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Attica Rall was a maid in the kitchen. She was 51 years old and gave birth to 10 children who carried the dishes and took out the garbage and never sat once at the head of the table and didn't even talk to the people at the table who just cleaned up all the food from the table and emptied the ashtray on a whole lot of leather. Got killed by a blow, lay slain by a cane that sailed through the air, that came down through the room, doomed and determined to destroy all the gentle. And she never done nothing to Williams and Singer. But you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all things, take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time. To show that all's equal and that the courts are on the level and that the strings and the books ain't pull and persuaded and even the nobles get properly handled. Once that the cops have chased after and caught them and that the ladder of law has no top and no bottom, stared at the person who killed for no reason, who just happened to be feeling that way without warning, and he spoke through his cloak most deep and distinguished and ended out strongly for penalty and repentance. William Sensinger with a 6-month sentence. But you philosophize disgrace and criticize all the spares. Bury the rag deep in your face. But now's the time for your tears. But now's the time for your tears and games. But now.
I love America. It's not a system that works. A system never works. It is the people who are in control of those systems that makes those systems what they are.
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done. Put in a prison cell, but what? Champion of the world. Three bodies lying dead as Patty C. And another man named Bello moving around mysteriously. I didn't do what he says, and he throws up his hands. I was only robbing the register, I hope you understand. I saw him leave and he says, and he stops. One of us had better call up the cops. And so Patty calls the cops. And they arrive on the scene with their red lights flashing in the hot New Jersey night. Meanwhile, far away in another part of town, Reuben Carter and a couple of friends are driving around. About to go down when a cop pulled him over to the side of the road, just like the time before and the time before that. In Patterson, that's just the way things go. If you're black, you might as well not show up on the street unless you wanna draw the heat. Cops. Him and other Dexter Bradley were just out prowling around. He said, I saw two men running out who looked like middleweights. Jumped into a white car with out-of-state plates. And Miss Patty Valentine just nodded her head. Cops said, wait a minute, boys, this one's not dead. So they took him to the infirmary. And though this man could hardly see, they told him he could identify the guilty man. But one time he could have been the champion of the world. 4 months later, the ghetto's on flame. Rubens in South America fighting for his name. Well, Arthur Dexter Bradley's still in the robbery game. And the cops are putting the screws to him, looking for somebody to blame. Remember that murder that you happened in a bar. Remember you said you saw the getaway car. Thinking like the play ball with the law. Think it might have been that fighter that you saw running that night. Don't forget that you are white. Arthur Dexter Bradley said, I'm really not sure. A cop said a poor boy like you can use a break. We got you for the motel job and you're talking to your friend Bello. You don't want to have to go back to jail, be a nice fellow. You'll be doing society a favor. That son of a bitch is brave and getting braver. We want to put his ass in the stir. We want to pin this triple murder on him. He ain't no gentleman's jail.
take a man out with just one punch. But he never did like to talk about it all that much. It's my work, he'd say, and I do it for pay. And when it's over, just as soon go on my way. Up to some paradise, where the trout streams flow and the air is nice. And ride a horse along the trail. But then they took him to the jailhouse, where they tried to turn a man into a mouse. Were marked in advance. The trial was a pig circus. He'd never had a chance. The judge made Reuben's witnesses drunkards for the slums. To the white folks who watched, he was a revolutionary bum. And to the black folks, he was just a crazy nigger. No one doubted that he pulled the trigger. And though they could not produce the gun, the DA said he was the one who did the deed. And the old Nigeria agreed. Carter was falsely tried. The crime was murder one. Guess who testified? Bello and Bradley, and they both all they lied. And the newspapers, they all went along for the ride. How can the life of such a man be in the palm of some fool's hand? To see him obviously framed couldn't help but make me feel ashamed. To live in a land where justice is again. Criminals in their coats and their ties are free to drink martinis and watch the sunrise. While Reuben sits like Buddha in a 10-foot cell, an innocent man in a living hell. Yes, that's the story of the hurricane, but it won't be over till they clear his name and give him back the time he's done. Put in a prison cell, but one time he could have been the champion of the world.